Welcome to this chapter on transition, right? So we've covered, I would say, right from assessment to vendor selection, contracting. Now we have engaged into a contract with the service provider, and we are looking at transition, right? So transition is a key, I would say, on-ground activity. And in this chapter, what we will touch upon is basically transition procedures, the methodologies, importance of transition roles, continuity during transition, right? So let's look at the transition procedure, right? So what is transition? Transition is step one post your contract signing, right? Now that you've signed the contract with the service provider, next step is for you to transition the process to the service provider, right? So service provider will initiate his responsibility of takeover, and generally the process is moved in as is state, right, as it is running in your organization, right, unless specified if there is a deviation, right. Recently, of late, you've seen that a transition is coupled with transformation, right, and you have TNT as a block, which is transition and transformation, right? What is covered on a transformation? You cover process enhancement or the future state required in the process. So what you would want to do is transition with a process and also parallelly transform it to a future state or some part of it, right? So transition and transformation generally go hand in hand if there is adequate visibility on transformation. If not, transition works well in isolation as well, right? So what is a transition methodology, right? You will see that transition primarily can be covered in these six steps, right? Starting with discovery and assessment, the project preparation, solution designing and planning, and then followed by implementing the transition, which is implementation of a transition plan. Then you have testing and pilot, and then you have the steady state. So let us look at each of these six steps in the transition methodology in a little more detail. Step one is discovery and assessment, right? Now, primarily the service provider here is doing data collection, right? He will capture parameters in terms of the systems use, what are the incoming and outgoing dependencies. He will chart down his understanding of the process. He may even see some gaps, and he will validate those gaps if any, right? So phase one for the vendor, for the service provider, is to discover what is there in the landscape of the deliverable and assess as well, right, in terms of his understanding of the process. What will happen here is you will have response to queries like what is the complexity of the process, right? He will want to know what kind of domain knowledge is required, whether it is at a level A, B, C. Typically you have L1, L2, L3 levels, right? What kind of technology is running, right? And are there any system or technology changes, right? Are there any visible risks associated with this, right? What is the level of interaction required with the customer? What is the impact, right? And as we said, is there a view on the future state as well, right? So during the assessment, data gathering, all these queries, response to these queries will be sought by the service provider, right? And an important note here under transition, right? Sometimes in large outsourcing deals, there is agreed transition of staff as well and assets, right? You have people from your organization getting transitioned to the service provider. If it's a full-blown big outsourcing engagement, So you have say five people handling that process, and you have agreed to transition those resources as well. Now this gets legally covered. It's not easy to have a resource transition, and it gets covered under the Two Pay Act, right, which is a transfer of undertakings, protection of employment in the individual companies, right? And for this particular transition, you will have the HR transition team involved to engage, give an offer to those guys, engage, onboard them to the organization, right? And here, even for asset transfers, the nature, extent, and ownership will need to be clarified, right? So keep this in mind that, as we spoke earlier also, transition and transformation can happen together. Transition works well in isolation. Transition may include a transition of human resources, right? But that will need a delta addition of involvement of HR to handle legalities of onboarding them, right? Let us come to second step of the transition methodology, which is the project preparation, right? Now, step one, the details have been gathered. Now there will be a project preparation by the service provider to chart out the timelines of execution, how the transition will happen. Note that we are talking only of the transition project process, right, part, not the entire operations, right? There has to be a certain timeline defined for this transition. It cannot be ever ending, right? You will need to have a view on the timeline that this particular process will get transitioned and become ownership of the service provider in, say, 3 months of time. What are the dependencies which the service provider has and which need to be met with, right? The service provider will have to share his resource plan, right? He will need to have a named transition project manager and an end-to-end plan ready for the transition. So this stage basically talks of project preparation. Once the project is ready, stage three of the methodology, solution design and planning, right? So what is happening here in solution design? You are finalizing or consenting with the customer on the overall solution, right? Is there a deviation to the process workflow? Is the understanding on the volume trends correct, right? The service provider will bring out his experience out of similar handlings, and they will leverage on the best practices of their experience, right? And basically here in the solution designing and planning stage, you will detail how the process transition should take place, right? We are purely talking of the next steps of executing now looking at executing the transition of the process. So what will happen here is, because you are going to move into execution, you will want to finalize both the operational model as well as the process workflow. Because it is going to get into implementation, the operational model needs to be ready available now at this stage. The team composition, how is the org structure with them, whether there are shifts, how they will be evaluated, what is the communication channels. So the entire operation model view has to be ready here. And even the process workflow in terms of each step of the process, how it is proposed to occur, right? One needs to be clear of the workflow in terms of deliverables, expected outcomes, and the turnaround times as well. So this stage is preparing, I would say, having readiness of the next couple of steps in the methodology. So if you look in sequence, after the solution planning, you immediately have the implementation of the transition plan. So what happens here is, the transition project manager now initiates and leads the implementation, right? And here the project management skills become very, very important, right? Because this is where the actual work of transition is happening. And here the key frameworks, project management frameworks like PMP, PRINCE2, these may be used in play, or you may have customer specific frameworks which may need to be followed, right? So the Transition project manager will need to ensure work with all the stakeholders, update them regularly, update a transition board if it is there, ensure that proper governance is carried out, and also ensure that the implementation is happening seamlessly, right? Once the implementation is done, you then have a stage of testing and pilot, right? Why this is important? This can be skipped in some stages, but it becomes important to define this separately, because what you are doing here is you need to validate the understanding. You have implemented and you need to have a live run, a pilot go live to see that the end deliverables are same. So you will match the output of this testing and pilot phase with a live use case and ensure that yes, the deliverables can go live. Based on results of the pilot, the transition board can give a green signal to go live the entire I would say process operations from the service provider end. So this is essentially a phase where you have the green signal from the transition board or the senior management to start executing the process from the next day or agreed date from the service provider end, right? And following this is the last phase, I would say, in terms of after the testing and pilot, once it has gone live, it basically runs into steady state operations, right? So you earlier had the operational model ready, you have a go live done. So next stage is running the operations and monitoring and meeting your SLAs. So this is how the pilot is done. So the next or the last step in this process or the transition methodology is the steady state. Now this signifies successful completion of transition. So this is obviously post go live, and after pilot, once you have a green signal from the senior management or the transition committee to go live and put the I would say the process in operations, steady state looks at meeting your required level of quality for the deliverables, and it also adds it is a value add to your enhancements, right? Here the teams will focus more on meeting the SLAs and as well as putting efforts on building quality aspects of the deliverables. Let us have a quick look on the transition manager role. Now why this is specifically mentioned is the transition manager is a critical role, right? It takes I would say it takes key I would say ownership of delivering the transition. The transition manager, he is the face of the delivery. He is the guy who is responsible interacting with the customer teams, right? And his output or actions can make or break the relationship, right? He will need to demonstrate those particular skills and bring out the benefits of the outsourcing to the customer stakeholders, right? And his role is the key role in binding both the organizations at this phase, right? What is required for this particular role, they are not limited to, but these attributes identified are bare minimum critical for this role. He should have strong project management skills, a very good communicator, he should have experience of doing cross-functional work, handling cross-functional teams, he should have the experience of handling customers, stakeholders, reporting becomes critical. So these are some of the skills which are, I would say, essential, not I would say limited to. As I mentioned, each transition project will have its complexity, right? Some transitions which are niche, they may have their needs of a requirement of a person who has that particular knowledge as well, technical stuff. So that's another aspect. Now let's look at migration methodologies during transition, right? So what are the two methodologies in use in transition? You have the simple, I would say, pick and drop. This is the most common method. It is like you are picking up the process in its current state and migrating it as is, like, right? So this is pure simple transition. This is pretty, the benefits are, it's pretty easy in terms of training new members. There are no changes to the process, right? And you have a team from the customer who is already supporting this. So you have immediate availability of support if anything is required. So this is one of the most easier stuff. It's pick and drop. The second one is re-engineer and migrate, right? So this can touch upon to transformation if it's at a large scale, right? But if not, if it's at a smaller scale, this need not get into transformation. But yes, some fixing of the process can be done. You have the benefit of using the rich experience of the existing team to fix or change to the process. And you can also carry out an exhaustive pilot under guidance of the same team, right? You have the same team available, correct? And because you are carrying out that small fix, you don't need to change the process in the near future. So let us look at now key focus areas of transition management. We saw the role of the transition manager. Now let us look at the key focus areas of transition management. So if you look here, you have five key focus areas, starting from tracking the project process, training, compliance, operating model and measurement. Tracking project process. Now this becomes important and a key area of focus for transition is because you are essentially wanting to ensure that the transition project is happening or getting executed in the defined timeline, right? Here your reference will be the detailed project plan, and you can have a scorecard for monitoring or use MPP NAT chats, right? So project management skills are important, but the ongoing communication, reporting, dashboards. So one needs to ensure that if the transition has to be, I would say, successful, once the plan is finalized, you need to ensure that it is tracked at a regular basis, right? Otherwise, you will have a spill in timelines and things will start getting delayed and impacting the future deliverables. So, tracking project progress is the first key focus area for transition management. This is again followed by training. Now, why training all of a sudden, right? So, we know that a process or a function is being transitioned, right? And the team at the other end will not have a view or experience of handling this process, right? So training becomes essential for those team members, right? And it is important to run them through flow charts, documentation or on-job trainings, right? So training is another key important element, because this touches the resources. You need to ensure that there is an adequate training plan for the entire group of resource, right? And it is a key area in the BPO industry, and you will need to ensure that you have experienced trainers who are training and even carrying out assessments post trainings to validate that the resources have picked up the required skills required for executing this process, right? So after training, the third key focus area is compliance, right? One will need to ensure that legal clearances, if any, or if there are specific regulatory compliance, these will need to be adhered to, right? You will have to keep a tab on any compliance area required. You will have to check if there is a role for any external agency to get into play. Now these compliances, to give you an example, becomes critical when you are specially handling domains of finance, right? There you, and especially if you are touching upon regulatory stuff like linking to stock exchanges and other stuff, you will need to ensure that there are regulatory clearances or compliances required. Even in normal course, laws like the Sarbanes-Oxley compliance, those implications of applicable laws will need to be checked. So compliance is a key focus area, and this needs to be ensured during transition, because what will happen is, if this is missed here, you may, there is a chance that you may miss the compliance aspect down the line, right? So after compliance, you have the operating model, right? Here, as we saw in the transition methodology, you have finalized all aspects, right, of the team structure, shift, escalation, communication, right? The model will need to be looked at, agreed upon, right? Because this is the team that will provide the service, right? You are basically laying down the service expectations for the teams, right? So it is a key focus area again to ensure that the operations run seamlessly down the line post transition. So operating model is another key area of transition management, and this one is followed by measurement, right? Now it is important to assess, once you have the operating model defined, you will need to ensure that you are sure in terms of what kind of measurement will be taken up, what kind of industry standard metrics you will follow, right? What corrective actions you will do. So measurement and monitoring, these are key, right? So if you see, these become key aspects here as focus areas, because you will be out of transition and into steady state operations, which will need to be monitored, measured, and actions taken to ensure that the deliverables are being met as required by you, right? So these were some of the key focus areas of transition management. Thank you.